The music's going to cut off. I'm just going to let you know. I tried it earlier, and that's just what happened. Haven't figured out the fade in yet, but welcome, everyone, to a very special edition, a crossover edition of Wada Hockey and Bar Down Beauties, as I am joined by the one and only Jesse Pierce, who covers the Minnesota Wild. Boo. Professionally,
Matt Dumba have the puck behind me, or did Ryan Suter have the puck behind
did.
Me?
Well, either way, I just assumed. But first and foremost, thank you for joining me. This is brought to you by Third Line Hockey. Head over to thirdlinedraft.com, head over to their Facebook page, Third Line Hockey, so you can catch up on all of the tournaments they have coming up. I think they're going to Winston-Salem, North Carolina pretty soon. They've been to Vegas. They're going to go to Chicago. They're going to Denver. They're all over the place. But if you want to have a good time, play some beer league hockey, like I said, the only requirement is that you have fun. Head over to thirdlinedraft.com. But remember, they spell it like the British do, D-R-A-U-G-H-T. So 3RD line GRAUGHT.com. Jesse, we are two games in to this raucous series between the Minnesota Wild and the Dallas Stars. The series is tied 1-1 as we are recording this here on Thursday afternoon in the Central Time Zone, where for some reason the NHL has saw fit to start these games at 8:30, hashtag 8:50 p.m. On Monday and Wednesday. What are you feeling right now? Two games in, tied between these two teams.
I'm okay with 1-1, and that's going to sound very Minnesotan of me, right? Like, oh, we're just happy to be here. I'm not just happy to be in the playoffs by any stretch of the imagination, but they absolutely stole that game on Monday night in double overtime, and it was a fantastic game by both teams. But you could really tell Minnesota threw everything that they had at Dallas. So I expected the Stars to come out like they did on Wednesday. I expected Minnesota to go with Marc-Andre Fleury. We can get into that whole debacle and debate, but I think you stole one on the road. That's huge. Now they got to come back home, get the job done, hopefully get a couple of those banged up guys rested and ready to rock and roll. And I'm extra curious to see if Joel Eriksson-Ek makes a return, a triumphant return, if you will, because man alive, the Minnesota Wild certainly could use him up the middle.
Okay. First and foremost, I agree. I think the Minnesota Wild did steal that game. Gustafsson played unreal. So that's going to lead me into the question you just brought up. What was the thought process from your point of view starting Marc-Andre Fleury? Now, let's not get words mixed up here. Marc-Andre Fleury will go down as one of the greatest goaltenders of the last two decades, in my opinion. He's been successful almost everywhere he's gone, but he goes into the game on Wednesday night. Jake Oettinger, he's it for the Dallas Stars. I think everyone knows that. There's no secret. Scott Wedgwood is a solid backup. We miss Anton Khudobin up in Chicago, which woof. But we know that Oettinger is going to be the guy no matter what. So kind of from your view, what is the thought process on starting Flower on Wednesday night against the Stars?
There's a couple different things that go into this. Now, last year for the Minnesota Wild, they had a very similar tandem heading into the playoffs. They had Marc-Andre Fleury, who they picked up at the trade deadline, and they had Cam Talbot. Now, in my opinion, which angers a lot of Minnesota fans, Cam Talbot was not as good as people perceived him to be. The team was rocking and rolling. They were moving forward. They were winning games. Cam Talbot was not winning games. However, his win percentage had gone up. His record heading into the playoffs looked good. All that being said, everybody wanted Cam to start game one. Cam did not start game one. Cam did not start game two or three. They put him in a no man's win situation in game six. So I think a little bit of it is Dean trying to change the narrative heading into this series, saying, you know, you're right, we don't need to go with our veteran guy. We will go with Philip Gustafson to start game one because he is the second best goaltender behind Linus Ullmark in net. Now, that also being said, they have done a rotation all regular season long. It has not been very many back-to-back starts for either goaltender, whether it is Marc-Andre Fleury or whether it is Philip Gustafson, unless there's some sort of injury or illness aside. So it has just been a rotating tandem, which has served them well. It got them here to where they are today. Philip Gustafson has the hot hand, but Marc-Andre Fleury is still Marc-Andre Fleury. Like you said, Fink, he is a future Hall of Famer. And I think the reason I loved it, and I had asked Dean a couple weeks ago, are you going to rotate? And that's my big thing with him, is asking him about goaltenders. He loves it. By loves it, I mean hates it. he said, yeah, it worked during the regular season. Why not? Now, again, NHL standards, you don't do that. You play your hot hand. You ride with who is giving you the best chance to win. But Marc-Andre Fleury, usually does. And I don't think last night's loss hangs solely on his shoulders, no matter how much Flower had said postgame it did. He's right. Seven goals is a lot for a goaltender to give up, but the Wild were a complete mess in the offensive zone, neutral zone, and defensive zone as well, leaving him hanging out to dry on numerous occasions, at least three or four of those goals that I can think of offhand. Not to mention, you toss in a new goaltender, it throws you guys off. Philip Gustafson and Marc-Andre Fleury play very different styles of goaltending. I mean, Gustafson is a very calm, steady, technical goalie, whereas Marc-Andre Fleury loves the theatrics. He loves to windmill and do all of that, which is super exciting for fans until the puck gets in. So I didn't hate it. I got a lot of grief. I'm still getting a lot of grief from my Minnesota loyal, but I like it. I mean, obviously, not to mention, you give Gus a little bit of a break. Again, you stole that first game at home. It's okay to head out 1-1, get Gus rested, come back to St. Paul, put him in for game three, and try to get the win there.
Now, going back to game one, obviously that went into two overtimes, and you and I were kind of texting back and forth and talking about how ridiculously late it was and how tired we were. I can only imagine now hockey, their players are built different. I mean, let's just call it the way it is. But it was kind of obvious going into to game two that it affected the Wild seemingly a little bit more than it affected the Stars. Did that come across to you at all watching the game on Wednesday night? Because from our viewpoint, from Stars fans' views, it seemed like the Stars almost got more aggressive and realized that Minnesota kind of went out there and played the, you know, not to get into, you know, choice words, but kind of the bully hockey game one. They pushed the Stars around quite a bit there in the first period on Monday night. The Stars then kind of bounced back second, third, fourth, seemingly fifth periods, if you want to call them that. And then, you know, you go to Wednesday and the Stars just came out so hot and they never seemingly let up. Even when Minnesota had those two back-to-back goals within, I think it was 12 seconds, the Stars never really took their foot off the gas. Did that kind of come across to you when you were watching last night?
100%. I mean, I think even in that first overtime, you could tell Minnesota was just gas, but they were going to keep going. And again, it goes back to they threw everything they had in game one. I worried you a little bit that they were going to be kind of depleted heading into game two. Certainly, I think you look at Minnesota and Dallas on paper. Dallas is the more skilled team. They are the stronger team. They have more players with more points and more goals and everything, you know, on paper, they are the favorited for a reason. Minnesota's blue collar. They are grit first is their slogan this year. They have to play that physical game because they don't have the offensive talent like Dallas does. They don't have necessarily the talent to counter any of Dallas's strong pushes, really. I mean, you saw Marcus Foligno throw 9 hits in game one, and they were good, heavy hits. I think that's the style that Minnesota's trying to establish. It's an identity that they've been trying to establish all throughout the season. They just were not having any luck. At first, they thought they were this big, potent, offensive octane team like they were last year. They're not. Outside of Kirill Kaprizov and Matt Boldy, this isn't a scoring team, so you're going to have to, the Minnesota Wild know that they're going to have to wear the Dallas Stars down, and that's exactly what they're going to do in each and every game. Now, that comes at a price to them as well. It comes with banged up bodies. It comes with missing a Ryan Hartman in game two, which is, you know, a crucial player, and it comes to obviously some banged up ends, guys on your end too. So it's, the Stars came out flying like I thought they would and like they should. It'll be really interesting to see what happens back in St. Paul for game three.
Now, obviously, the hottest topic of game one was the hit. We're not going to go into it. I think you and I both kind of agreed on, you know, what the call was and how it was kind of handled to a certain degree. Now, people will argue until the sun goes down whether it was a legal hit, whether it was illegal, the intent behind it and the setup leading into it. Looking at that, do you think that's going to be the storyline that carries out through the entirety of this first round? Because obviously, I mean, Wild's fans know just as well as Stars fans, Pavelski is a heart and soul kind of guy. You know, you look at guys like Ryan Reeves, he is a phenomenal locker room guy, but he's a different locker room guy. You can compare Pavelski to a Marc-Andre Fleury type of locker room guy where they're very heart and soul. So what's your kind of thought process from a Wild standpoint, looking at that and kind of judging what that's going to do for the Stars and maybe the Wild moving forward through the rest of the playoff series.
I mean, it's certainly a narrative because obviously it's incredibly unfortunate. Any injury, especially one involving the head, the way that Pavelski had hit the ice, that's unfortunate no matter which side of the puck you're on. And Pavelski, you nailed it. He is the heart and soul. He is the captain. I mean, everybody knows what he's capable of, and he's had a tremendous season. He's a huge reason why the Stars were making a real big push for number one in the Central too, without question. You know, I think while he's MIA and not playing throughout the series, yeah, it's going to be brought up. What would be different for Dallas if Pavelski was here? On the Minnesota side, not to be malicious or be intentful of it, but it's helpful to them, right? It's something that they are obviously going to use, hopefully, to their advantage. You didn't see it as much in game two. Mm-hmm. I think the storyline for Minnesota Wild fans, and by storyline, I mean the kind of anger, if you will, or like the thorn in their side is Ryan Suter. They saw in, you know, in retaliation to, you know, Stars fans hating on Matt Dumba for that hit. Well, Minnesota fans were shown some cross checks from Suter onto Kirill Kaprizov, pretty egregious cross checks, which has them all up in arms. They already kind of had their own feelings about Suits and the buyout and everything there, but now he is public enemy number one for Minnesota. So I think that's kind of their fan narrative as well. But yeah, I mean, in general, losing Pavs for you guys, awful, great for the Minnesota Wild side of things, I think.
And it's so funny that you bring up Suter, because throughout the entirety of this season, Stars fans have hated Ryan Suter. They can't stand him. Nobody likes the guy. He's literally that kid on the playground, just like throwing rocks at trees by himself.
But he's still out there for what, 26 minutes a night or something like that, I'm sure?
He eats up minutes, so Stars fans do kind of fail to see that. And I did a quick recording with a friend of mine here in the DFW Sports Arena, and I did kind of mention that watch Ryan Suter be that guy. And he kind of turns fans back around to actually like him. Now, he could be one of those signings where we hate him in the regular season, we can't stand him, we don't like him, but come playoffs, He's our savior. He does what he needs to do to get under the skin of the Wild and their fans. So it's a very interesting dynamic that you guys hate him because we hated him. And now we're like, that was okay. Yeah, that was a little bit of a retaliation cross check on Kaprizov. And like, now we're, am I supposed to like him? I don't know. We're all very confused. We don't know what to do with our hands here in Dallas right now.
I know that feeling. That's how we are so often with so many players, I swear.
So kind of looking at, obviously, the first two games, who has been, from your viewpoint of the Wild and the Stars, the most surprising player on the ice so far? Who has just come out and you've been like, okay, I expected them to do well, but not that well?
I mean, I wish I could name a Stars player, but I expected all those guys that are doing well to be doing well. I mean, Dadonov, I guess I didn't expect him to do that well.
And nobody did.
Hintz, come on. Like, we knew what he was going to do. You knew what Miro Heiskanen was going to do, what Robertson can do. Even Tyler Seguin, obviously, getting there. You knew up and down, and namely Jake Ottinger, a Lakeville, Minnesota native of our own. He's one that we don't know what to do with our hands because we love him. You're welcome for him, but we can't like him. We're not friends. I think on the Minnesota Wild side, absolutely Gus Nyquist. And it's a surprise because we didn't get to see him throughout the regular season, right? We saw him for, I think, 3 games. He had 4 points in 3 games. So you were seeing those glimmers of hope. It was a signing that Bill Guerin had made where everyone was kind of like, what? Why? He's out for the year. He hasn't played since January. But I remember watching Gus Nyquist in Detroit, and I loved him. He was on my fantasy team. I mean, the way that he can move the puck is tremendous. And obviously, it's tough to be in Columbus regardless, but 2 years prior, he was great. So to get him for nothing was huge. And he has absolutely come as advertised, as I was hoping he would be. He is able to set up the play. He's looking really good with Sam Steele. Another somewhat surprise, just because the way that Sam Steele has been in and out of the lineup so consistently. But ever since he'd been scratched for 3 or 4 consecutive games and would have to slot back in due to injury, he's really stepped up his game, taken that opportunity. So Gus Nyquist for sure is my number one surprise on the Minnesota Wild, just because you hoped and you prayed that he was going to pan out. And so far, it's looking pretty solid. I'm liking what he's contributing to the squad.
I was going to say the exact same thing with Sam Steele. I think it was a shorthanded goal that he scored on game one on Monday night. It was extremely deflating from a Stars fan, viewpoint.
He gave you one back last night, though.
I was going to say, on the flip side, you look at last night at what Rupe Hintz did on the PK. And honestly, it's hard to kind of pinpoint one guy for the Stars from my vantage point. Dadonoff, huge pickup, especially here in the DFW area. People were so invested and in love with Denis Garionov, who obviously was traded up to the Montreal Canadiens for Evgeny Dadonoff. But Dadonoff has had such an interesting last couple of years, you know, obviously with the trade essentially going through, I think it was to Anaheim, and then not going through, and he just didn't know what he was doing. And then he was just kind of like, I want to play playoff hockey. And now he's on the Stars roster, scores two goals last night, of course. Someone that's not surprising, Miro Heiskanen. I mean, four assists, four shots on goal. He just knows how to control the puck on the power play, off the power play. He knows where to be at on the PK. It'll be really interesting to see what they roll out on Friday night for the Stars, just because Pete DeBoer, I think, has a 8-4 record in the first round as a head coach. Obviously, the Minnesota Wild haven't had as much luck in the first round. So there's a lot of storylines going into this first round beyond game two. From you, what has been developing in your head as the most intriguing storyline in this playoff series? I mean, there's just so much. You look at all of the guys on the Minnesota Wild, that played for the Dallas Stars. And then you look at all of the guys on the Dallas Stars who have ties to Minnesota in one way or another. Obviously, you said Suter with the buyout contract, Ottinger, being from Minnesota. Another guy who was brought up because of the absence of Joe Pavelski, Riley Tufte. He's a Minnesota native. He loves Minnesota. He plays in the Beauty League in the summers up in Minnesota. There are so many different storylines. And then one of the most, in my personal opinion, favorite storylines is the argument between Kaprizov and Robertson, because they were neck and neck, and there were like the stipulations behind Kaprizov. Like, does he deserve to be a rookie? Is he really a rookie? Robertson had a sensational freshman year, and then you look at what he's done in his sophomore year. And then not to mention Bill Guerin, Mike Modano. These guys were the heart and soul of the Dallas Stars back in the 1999 Cup run. So it's going to be game three tomorrow night, Friday night in Minnesota. What has become your favorite storyline, maybe off the ice, from your stand, your viewpoint?
I mean, I definitely do love the Kaprizov versus Robertson angle. Not to mention, I'm a big USA Hockey gal, so Jason Robertson feeds into that too. It's great to see the sport growing and a kid coming from California, playing in Dallas, growing the game. I absolutely love that. I drink that Kool-Aid every day. But I think Kaprizov, watching them play, against each other, rather, they are such different players. They're both very, very skilled. But Kaprizov's that Russian, that gritty, tough little Russian. And not to discredit Jason Robertson, I don't think Jason Robertson necessarily has some of that, right? And he doesn't have to be. He doesn't need that at all. He has his speed, and I just love watching that. And I think it's still kind of fun to go back to the North Stars versus the Stars era, right? Always. I think that's always going to be something that dies. I did. I had this weird, like, epiphany, like, can you wear a Dallas Stars jersey now, or can you not? Because technically, you guys own it. Like, you've got the Neil Broughton jersey hanging in American Airlines Center, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that was ours. Like, that was 100% our thing. So it's always kind of, I mean, that's a storyline, I think, that ESPN certainly loves to feed into us. And as fans, it's kind of like, But then also, I like to flip the page and be like, you guys, it's the Wild now, though, right? Like, I'm, I'm of the age where I grew up without a professional hockey team for my youth, because we didn't have the Stars, and then the Wild didn't come around for another decade. And so people that are now just getting into hockey, hopefully only have the Wild. I get the old timers. I don't know. That's always a storyline. My biggest storyline, obviously, is just going to be the goaltending battle. I thought game one came down to Ottinger and Gus, right? And both were absolutely phenomenal. It's so hard to dislike Jake Ottinger. It really is, as a person and as a player, because what he does at his age, and especially given the workload that he has had in Dallas this year, is absolutely phenomenal. But Philip Gustavson, kind of the same thing, except he's had a much harder path to get to where he's at and to earn that starting spot now over Marc-Andre Fleury, over a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury, has been fun. So I'm loving that storyline and following that. I'm always very, probably don't know this about me, I'm very critical of goaltenders. Like, I, for whatever reason, I love to just like criticize the hell out of them or love them. Like, I had to publicly apologize to Philip Gustavson for calling him a bona fide backup. When they traded for, I didn't like Cam Talbot. I was fine with him leaving, but I was like, well, you got a backup and now you're going to start Marc-Andre Fleury. Like, nobody knew that coming in. Come on now. But
he's had a phenomenal season and he's played himself into that kind of starting role.
Right.
Let me ask you this. Do we see Marc-Andre Fleury again in this series after last night?
I don't think so. Until you come down to something needs to change, right? I think that was the other thing, not to always go back to last year for Minnesota. But Dean Evason got out-coached last year without question. You saw Craig Berube and the St. Louis Blues make their goaltending change, and that's what took them the series. The Wild didn't. They kept Fleury in because they thought Fleury could work his way out of it and then finally made the change when it was too late. It didn't make any sense. I think Dean tried to do the opposite now, right? He tried to say, hey, okay, well, I'll give Marc-Andre Fleury a shot. Didn't go so well. Why not put Gus back in and, you know, let him do his thing? I mean, Gus is always, whether he's coming off a big loss or a big win, kid has the same damn mentality, the same strong confidence, which is exactly what you want. Not to say Marc-Andre Fleury doesn't, but Marc-Andre Fleury gets very hard on himself when he has a bad game like he did the other night. And to answer the question, short answer, only if it's a deciding, you know, if it's maybe facing an elimination game and a change needs to be made. Otherwise, I think it's probably Gus's net for the foreseeable future here.
Obviously, my dog Pippi, as you heard, agrees with you. She was very excited about your answer. I just have one or two more questions. I know you got to run. The first question I have for you, you brought it up, the North Stars history. And this is something that's actually been tossed around here in Dallas. Do you wear a North Stars jersey to the game on Friday as a Wild fan? Because here in Dallas, people have been questioning, are you wearing the North Stars jersey because you're a Minnesota fan? Or are you wearing it because you're a Dallas fan? Because it's a phenomenal jersey. It's a phenomenal look, a great logo. But, you know, like you said, it's our history in Dallas. But who are you rooting for? So if you're given the choice, do you wear a North Stars jersey to the game on Friday? Are you going to catch any flack for it?
I literally posed it to my followers last night too, and it was pretty darn close. I think most people say, no, the North Stars are ours. The Minnesota North Stars are ours. That N with the star is ours because we are the North Star state. I did have, and there's plenty of things out there that too, like the sweatshirt I wore last night was a little jab. I was going to wear it again today,
but it's
the state. You saw the state of Minnesota with the star. So it's a subtle cheering, but I think the majority of Minnesotans are on the idea that the North Stars are ours. And that was Minnesota's thing. That will forever be Minnesota's history. I mean, it's sometimes celebrated again. It's such a weird relationship, right? Because they're gone and the Wild are trying to make their brand and their squad known. So that's the other thing, is you have to consider that it's now the Wild though. Like at some point in time, we need to move on. It's kind of like in college hockey, the WCHA and the Big Ten. Like, WCHA is not coming back. It was great and it was fun, but it's the Big Ten hockey team now. Like, the North Stars aren't coming back. The reverse retros obviously allow people to enjoy both. You get the sick colors, the sick kits, and then have the Wild logo. So I think that's the best of both worlds. Wear the reverse retro Wild jersey, but if you wear North Stars, you'll have plenty of supporters there too.
I was going to say, there's some questions behind it from both sides. Yeah. So I think we're both on the fence with that one. Last thing, Game 3 is Friday night. If the Stars win Game 3, do you think that's the series? And on the flip side, if the Wild win on Friday night, do you think that's the series? Because a lot of people have this going 7. So obviously tomorrow night, it's only 7. Game 3.
Right. Like, I have it going 7, and I hate to ever pin anything on that Game 3 because the Minnesota Wild have a knack for making you believe. Minnesota teams have a knack for making you believe that it's different, only to crush you in a more devastating manner, which would be a Game 7. So I think they will probably come out. They will probably win Game 3, but I don't think that necessarily means that they will take the series. And likewise, I think if Dallas wins on Friday, I think Minnesota for sure wins Sunday, but maybe they do. So, all right, I got the answer. If Dallas wins, yes, I think the series is theirs. If Minnesota wins, no, I don't think the series is theirs.
Okay. I mean, that's a very non-biased answer. I appreciate that. Yeah. I do want to shout out your co-host on Bar Down Beauties, Kirsten, for saying stars and six. And from what I've read in the comments, she's never wrong. So I'm going to have to go with stars and six. I think the Wild are going to put up a very, very competitive fight, as we've seen so far, obviously with the series being split and home ice basically being negated for the Dallas Stars. But I think the Minnesota Wild style of hockey, the bang, bang, go, 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 is going to eventually catch up even more so than we saw on Wednesday night. Whereas the Stars, they can attack you from any different angle. Their defense is an offensive-minded defense, but can still close you down in their zone. You have the Hints, the Robertsons, but then you have the Wyatt Johnstons, the Jamie Benns, the Benaissance, as we call it here in North Texas, where he's just kind of had a resurgence of a career this past season, and not to mention Jake Oettinger. So it'll be a very exciting series. I want to say thank you for joining me. Can you tell all of the people that are going to hear about this where they can find your work and where they can find more about the Bar Down Beauties podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. Follow me on Twitter at @Jesse_Pierce, @JESSI_Pierce, @PIERCE, Bar Down Beauties. We release new episodes every single Monday talking all things, mostly Minnesota hockey. So if you're still into that, it's good. It's fun. We get a lot of great guests. Also, I write for NHL.com covering all Minnesota Wild home games, potentially coming up road games for the playoffs, and also on Wild.com. So I'm sure you guys will not check out any of my work, but you will see my gamers from game 3 or 4, whether you like it or not. And it's an unbiased, just basic report for you. So that's where you can find me. I love hockey and I will tolerate the Dallas Stars for a little while.
We appreciate it. Jesse, thank you so much for the time. I'm going to ask you for one more thing. Do you have a sign off on Bar Down Beauties? Because we all have sign offs on WADA Hockey. So I'm going to put you on the spot here for a sign off.
Have a good one.
Oh, that's
and for
good.
Some reason, I do it in a very sexual tone, and I never
that's
know
fair.
Why, but it just
that's
helps.
Fair. We have some undertones on WADA Hockey, so you're fitting right in. With that being said, don't for any reason, even if Joe Pavelski has a week-long headache, forget your Kermit tattoos. It's a thing. I have a Minnesota.